This is Plantarama, a weekly look at what's happening in the world of horticulture from Kansas State University. Eric Atkinson here. And back with us, after his winter hiatus, is horticultural entomologist Raymond Cloyd of K-State Research and Extension. He joins us routinely throughout the growing season to let us know what's happening with insects infiltrating our lawns and our gardens. And Raymond, generically speaking here, a number of folks have been wondering if our rather harsh and extended winter weather served in any way to hinder insect activity going forward.
That's a great question, Eric. We've been getting it several times during the winter, and the answer is probably minimal, if any. And let me explain why. Insects were here before us, they'll be here after us, and they have evolved mechanisms to survive winters, whatever you call a winter. For example, some of them will overwinter as eggs, larvae, pupa, and adults, and that allows them to survive. They also have two mechanisms. One of them is freeze avoidance, and that is where they go in places to hide. These are insects that go in your home. There are others that will be in like the bark of a tree and those that will be in the soil. That's what we call freeze avoidance. Now, the other is called freeze tolerance, and that's when the insects excrete all the water out of their system because as water freezes, it expands, and they have their own little glycerol that allows them, antifreeze, to survive winter times. And so I gave a talk Saturday on Japanese beetle, and somebody asked me, what type of winter does it take to impact insects and mites? It says it takes about 2 weeks of temperatures below negative 10 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit to have an impact. And so we haven't had that in a long time.
It was a tough winter, but not that
tough. Not that tough, exactly. The other is snow cover. We had a lot of snow, and those insects would overwinter in the soil. That provides insulation. For example, if the ambient air temperature was, say, 10 degrees, the soil temperature could be 50 degrees Fahrenheit because the snow acts as insulation. So, again, the insects do have these mechanisms they've evolved with to overcome harsh winter conditions.
So, in the main, homeowners, gardeners can expect the usual flush of insects in this growing season ahead.
Right. Now, what will really be interesting, what does impact, let's say, when we will get insects and their abundance, is the spring times. If it's dry, cool, then it will delay it. If we get rain, plants will be coming out. And, of course, the herbivores, those that feed on plants, will be there when the leaves come out for their food source, basically. Yeah. So springtime temperatures and rainfall levels will be really an important factor what our potential insect and mite pest populations. And that doesn't include just the bad ones. The good ones are there, too. They also survive. So the natural regulatory processes they provide are also important.
So, Raymond, if you were to speculate, what would be the likely first prominent lawn or garden insect problem we'll see?
Well, Eric, I know that the eastern tent caterpillar is really early in April. The ash lilac borer will be out in April. But again, it depends on temperature. And, you know, when Van Hoot spiraea is blooming, which is one of our indicator plants, we know that ash lilac borer and some other insects will be present. But eastern tent caterpillar is the one that creates those nests, we call them nests, in the crotches of things, cherry, plum trees like that you see on the roadside. So that's one of our earliest defoliators because they actually start building their nests sometimes even before the trees are budding out and leafing. But as soon as they do leaf out, they're there munching away at the leaves.
Now that's one where an individual can mechanically deal with that pest.
Well, we generally recommend if you can disrupt the nest, open it up, then the birds will go in there and eat them and allow in any types of predators, birds, other vertebrates to chew on and eat on those caterpillars, yeah.
That's the simplest and most cost-effective way of dealing with the eastern tent caterpillar. And you mentioned the ash lilac borer. Anything to do about it at this point of the season?
Well, at this point, you can wait, but if you have a history of a lilac or ash tree that has been infested, you could spray a barrier insecticide treatment on the bark. One of the products is permethrin. Permethrin is the active ingredient in a number of compounds. And you spray from the base about up to 6 to 8 feet. And so when the female lays eggs and the eggs hatch into larva, that insecticide barrier will kill the larva before they move into the tree. Once they're in the tree or bush, then it's pretty much too late to do anything at that point.
Raymond, as always a pleasure. We will have you back soon. Thanks for now.
No problem, Eric.
That word from Raymond Cloyd, K-State horticultural entomologist. And Plantarama is produced by K-State Research and Extension over this, the K-State Radio Network.